verb, and it just means here. Like if you say to people, here, come on over here, here, come here. So in other words, C-U-M-E-R-E, come here. All right, come here. To the feast, to the wedding feast. Hoi de amele suntes ap eilthen. Now, this is always an interesting thing. Does the hoi go with amele suntes and those who had ignored went away? Probably not. Probably hoi de is the other people in the conversation and amele suntes is predicate position. And they, having ignored it, not having a care for it, ap eilthen, went away. Now notice how you have hos and then you have hos. That's like some and others. So you have some, two, or one guy, actually, one guy to his own field and another to his emporium, to his business. Hoi de loipoi and the rest of the guys, kratesantes tus dulus autu, having seized, krateo is to grab onto somebody, having seized his slaves, hubrisan kai apektainan them. Now you can see the word hubris in there, maybe you know that from English. That's to be kind of excessively proud of yourself. So they buffeted them about. They acted in an extremely overbearing manner compared to them and killed them. Notice here, Greek does this a lot. Andy, I think Hebrew does this too, where they don't have to put the word them there because the doulos has come after kratesantes. So it's kind of the object sort of dropped in the middle there, and you just kind of assume that. Let me parse that apektainon for you. That's third plural, aorist indicative active from apoktaino. You can tell it's not imperfect because of the alpha before the nu at the end. Ha de basilois, but the king orgisthe got real hot under the collar. Orge is wrath. Orgidzo is to make somebody wrathful. Here's a aorist passive, probably used, Andy, in an active but intransitive sense, became wrathful, and pempsas, having sent ta stratoimata out to his soldiers, his armies, you can see the word strategy in that, ap olesen tus phanois ekainus, phanais, sorry, ekainus, he destroyed. Ap olesen, that's from apolemi. Apolemi, apolo, ap olesa, that's the verb, third person singular, aorist indicative active, it's a weak aorist, from ap olemi, that omega represents the augment on the front. He murdered destroyed those murderers. Phanois is the plural of phanois, those murderers, and tain polin auton en epresen. Boy, anybody can parse that one and tell me where it's from. You get the call of your choice. This is really a tough form. It's from m pimpremi, which means to set something on fire. Pimpremi preso epresa. So, and he torched, actually torched would be just an excellent translation for it. And he torched their city. Then he says to his servants, now note the change to the present. At that point, you can see that this is going to foreground what's happening now, and this is kind of the real point of this thing. Then he says to his servants, "Homen gamos hetoimos estin. The wedding feast is prepared. Hoi de keklemenoi, the guys with wedding invitations in their hands, Ouk eisan axioi, we're not worthy. Paroiasthe ou, therefore go out, journey out. Take a trip out. Epitas de exodus ton hadon. Now I kind of looked this up just to make sure about this. This is kind of interesting. To the exoduses of the roads. Apparently this means something like the crossroads or the place where the road exits the city. Something like that. So in other words, it would be a pretty... it's not the byways or something like that, but it would be the place where there'd be a lot of people, either at the crossroads or at the gate of the city. Go to the crossroads of the roads, and hasus e'an hoirete, whomever you find, call unto the feasts. Now, let's parse hoirete, second person plural, aorist subjunctive active of hoirisko, and then hosus is as many as you discover, and the e'an is the alternative to on, which generalizes, all right? That generalizes from as many as... to make sure that you realize it's kind of open-ended. When you put the on in there, that's the equivalent of on, that will take the subjunctive. Hence, there is the hoirete. Classical Greek would not have put the on and the subjunctive in there. They would have said as many as would just be fine. But when you have that generalizing effect, Greek tends to do that in the Hellenistic format. Whom as many as you find, kalesete, second person plural, aorist, imperative active. Note, please, there's no augment on the front there. That's an imperative. Call unto the feasts. Now, it's interesting. All of a sudden, the feast becomes plural. I'm not sure about that. Maybe this is some sort of Semitic plural of excellence or something like that. Unless they were having parties going in dormi and in isolation and so on all over the place. Kai ex elthuntes hoi douloi, and upon going out, those slaves into the roads, sun egagon, third plural aorist indicative active of sunago, they gathered together pantas, all whom hoiron they discovered. Third plural aorist indicative active. Poneirus te kai agathus, evil guys and good guys. And a place they ha gamos ana kaimeno. And the wedding feast, a place they was filled, became filled. That's from pimplemi. Pimplemi, third singular, aorist indicative passive. Now, what's ana kaimeno? All right? It became filled with recliners at the table. That is to say, with banqueters. With banqueters. That would be, now DN, you'd like this, that would be a retained genitive in a passive formation, because any word for filling, pimplemi, pleirao, pleirafereo, all of those words will always have the thing that you have as contents in the genitive. That stays in the genitive even when you do a passive transformation. So it was filled. Now, what do we say in English? We say with banqueters. All right, let's go on to the end. Eis elthon, and upon coming in, the king, theasasthai. Ah, notice, theaomai is used, not bleo, blepo. To view. See that? Our word theater comes from that. So to view. So he came in to have a good look. So the king, having come in to have a good look at the anakainamenus, the banqueter guys, the guys reclining at table, saw there a man, uk endedimenon endimagamu, not, aha, perfect passive participle again, clothed, clothed. That's a masculine singular accusative, perfect passive participle. Endyma is also accusative. It's a neuter noun. We say with a garment of the wedding feast. There's our second, our double retained accusative. And he says to him, ha 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 ha, notice the ratcheting up of the thing by going to the present, foregrounding the discussion here. So now this is what we read. And he says to him, ha ha, yeah, yeah, hetaira, friend. Actually, friend is always used in these sentences just like people today use the phrase, that's fine, in the phrase, you can do that and that's fine, but, which means it ain't fine. So friend tends to have a kind of an edge to it. Friend, how did you get in here? Me echon endyma gamu, not having a garment of the wedding feast. There is an outstanding example of a concessive use of a participle. Even though you did not have. See? Not because you did not have. Even though you were not having a garment of the wedding feast. Hodeh, switching the subject. And he, clump, was stifled. Fima'o means to muzzle somebody. He became muzzled. Just his mouth was stopped, so to speak. Then the king said to his attendants, diakonois, De santes autu padas kai chairas, having bound his feet and his hands, ekbalate, imperative, throw him into the darkness, the outer darkness, the more outer darkness. There will be haklauthmus, the weeping, and the brigmus, the grinding of the tootses. For many are called, now this is a last interesting line. For many are called, but few are eklektoi, few are chosen. I think the only way to understand that last statement is many are called and few wind up really on the inside. In other words, the way it's worded sounds like it's saying many are called and there are a whole bunch of people who'd really like to be there, but I'm only going to choose a few and I'm going to beat the rest off with sticks. Well, it doesn't mean that. The eklektoi are those who wind up at the wedding banquet. Now, I should say, and you probably all know this, but I'll say this anyway. There is always a dispute as to whether or not you should see the guy without the wedding garment as someone who has rejected the king's own overture. That is to say, it's been observed that at some of these great banquets in the ancient world, the people giving the banquet would supply the garments to go to the banquet because nobody had a prayer of having fine enough garments to come. See, be kind of like saying, and I'll give you a tux. Well, this guy then, sort of blowing it off, says, I ain't going to take that tux, and I'm coming anyway. So it could well be something like that. Two last thoughts. Remember, this follows the parable of the wicked tenants of the vineyard. All right, so I think you're getting the same thing at the beginning, namely the idea of the rejection of the called people of God, of his servants, and of their message. As it transitions, though, to the guy inside, I think we have a little bit of a move there. So all those people who are very smug and say, ha ha, so he's rejected the Jews, so we're... all the rest of us are okay now, too. It's saying, not so fast, guys. Just realize what you're dealing with here. It's just not that simple that you can presume upon God. And there are various ways of presuming upon God. Okay.
The garment, if it's assumed that the king provides that, is that a way of saying you're invited on the king's own terms?
On the king's own terms, yeah.
Which he gives us by grace.
Which he gives us, yeah. See, and I think you can make that. Which he gives us by grace. Yeah. Now, I would think that at the end there of the first section, where he's burning the city and everything, you're going to, I think you have to see that as the destruction of in Palestine by the Romans and so forth. That basically these people did not come, and finally God closes the book. He not only does he call, but he sends servants out and says, not only were you invited, but come on, now's the time. And he sends the people out, and they kill them just like they killed the prophets and so on. So this is a little bit different than the previous parable where he finally sends the son. The first part of the parable is the same. The people are going out, and you know it doesn't have that particular son aspect to it. But I think the reason for that is the focus is probably changing a little bit from the Jews finally rejecting Jesus to just this sort of this business where even the people who get in have got to watch out that they're not just punching God in the face like this too. Okay, very good.